Hey there, this is Dan Delta Collins. You're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and also youtube.com/wanderingdms. And now, we hope you enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan, and on this very special episode of Wandering DMs, we're going to have a live play session. We usually get together for Paul. Yeah, hey Paul, I invited other people. They're gonna play a game with us live right now. Wild. Surprise!
Awesome.
Surprise,
awesome.
Everybody.
So, folks may or may not know, we do have a tradition amongst our group of getting together over the 4th of July weekend and playing a whole bunch of games. And this is actually predates even Wandering DMs, and this is the first year we haven't been able to do it. So we've been looking for ways to get together and game a bit. So very happy to do it today. That's great. I'm excited. Happy birthday to me.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Awesome.
Paul over there. Yeah, Paul's over there. Paul will be running the game today. And you're traditionally, he and I usually swap off years, actually, going to his place for his birthday, and we get a bunch of people together. So some of our viewers may have watched the fact that last year in 2019, we streamed 26 hours of gaming live over the July 4th weekend. So some of you might have seen that marathon session from 2019. So we couldn't do that this year, but instead we're going to have an extended Sunday session of live play, so you're welcome.
yeah, it should be fun. Dan, you want to introduce our guests? Can I put you on the spot?
I would be happy to. happy to, Paul. To my over there, over there we have Colleen Nictrieb, who you may possibly recognize from the internet show 10 Dead Rats that occurs Thursday evenings right before a Critical Role. Colleen, thanks for joining today.
Hey, it's great to be here. And of course, I love Paul GMing, so I'm excited to see what this game's all about.
For those of us that don't watch 10 Dead Rats religiously, remind us who you play on 10 Dead Rats.
I play a dwarf contortionist charlatan named Yeffie, who likes to ride around in a backpack, and she has a bit of a stealing problem. And she gets all tied up with different relationships that might be unhealthy for her, involving a vampire and a half.
You play dwarves a lot. You play dwarves a lot, Colleen. And if anybody watched the marathon session from last year, Colleen makes a guest appearance for one session as the dwarf who has a lot of backstory. There's a complicated backstory. Colleen did a wonderful job stepping in by surprise. To in the bottom left of your screen, I don't know how this happened, Paul, but we have disinvited Brooklyn-based artist Isabel Garbani on the show, and I didn't think that was... I thought we had a rule against that. I thought she was blacklisted, but here she is.
I invite myself.
Good call. Good call. I'm personally really happy to have you back. Myself, so thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks. So it's my fault, is it?
Yes. Yes, and it's not mine.
Sure.
So, Isabel, you played with us in a playtest game last night, actually. How do you feel? And Paul was kind of running that. Are you happy? You feel good about Paul's running games chops these days?
I do. I mean, it's kind of sad that we can't get together this year for 4th of July. You know, that's like such a great tradition to go and invite ourselves. You know, here we go. This is a theme. I invite myself to Paul's place. Use his pool. Eat his food.
Sorry, it's always my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
So we also have, also from 10 Dead Rats, we have Fury Sharon on today. Fury, thanks for joining us. Who do you play on 10 Dead Rats?
Doesn't matter, he's dead now.
Oh, right. Oh,
spoilers!
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Is that a huge spoiler?
Over a week old.
That for, every single episode leading up to the finale.
That is fair. Very fair. Very fair. Very fair.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get through. We're gonna work together to get us all through today without any deaths. I sympathize because I play in a game that Max actually runs, and I lost my character a week ago myself actually in his game. So
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I was playing a character with an outrageous German accent, and so I switched to an outrageous Irish accent when I made my new character. So that's. We're all super happy about that. We also have Andre Duco over here. There he is. Right. Who we play with a lot. Andre, you and I play actually Max's game, and you've run sessions at one point in that. So this is the first time that Andre's appeared on the show. Andre, have you ever done any online streaming before?
No, this is my big debut, and I'm here to steal the show. I'm a fan favorite.
Excellent.
Good start. Good start. Well, we're delighted to have you on here. And have you played this game? What game are we playing?
Excellent. I will jump in here and explain the game. So we are playing a GM-less game. I'm only just kind of facilitating in as much as sharing with you all the rules. It's a story game called Cheat Your Own Adventure. So I've heard actual plays of this game and never gotten to play it myself. I'm excited to give it a try. It's fairly light, very, very story heavy. And you'll appreciate this, Dan. It takes exactly one printed page and is in booklet format, which, yes. Makes me and I think you that. Very happy about that. Great.
Yes.
So the point of this game is to sort of emulate that time of sitting down to read a Choose Your Own Adventure book, if you've ever read one of those. It's called Cheat Your Own Adventure because the mechanics of the game are such that it emulates a little bit, not only we collectively as a group playing kind of at a meta level one person who's reading this Choose Your Own Adventure book, but also in the way that people normally do, which is to say, as you get to that point of going, oh, I don't know which choice to make here, maybe I'll put my thumb in the page and look ahead and read, and oh no, I'm going to go back. So there's a bit of cheating to avoid the terrible outcomes that are inevitable in a Choose Your Own Adventure novel.
Do people do that? Is that a thing people ever did?
Yeah, sure. You never did that?
Oh, yeah. No. I never did.
No, I didn't.
Back to the beginning. Hardcore, back to the beginning every time.
I had a book
that's
where you lost
the rules. The rules are you die and you go back. What do you? Sorry, Colleen.
Well, I mean, it's in the title of the game: Cheat Your Own Adventure. So here we go. So I will read you some of the rules here because it is so light. It's easy for me to just quickly read out this section of the rules. I'm going to be starting us off. I will pick up the dice. Everybody should have 2d6 on them. I will pick up the dice and narrate a short paragraph or two of the adventure starting text from an adventure book. I've pre-written a little thing for us to begin with. Keep it short and snappy, and don't be too precise. Leave the other players plenty of room for choices. Once the reader has said his or her bit, it's over to the other players. Each player, in turn, then presents an option to the reader. These should be presented in the style of, to do X, turn to page Y. Any page number will do. Make it up. The reader should pass the dice to the player with the most fun or interesting option. That player should look at the lowest difficulty rating on the character sheet. So we do need to have a difficulty rating, which I will bring up here. Ding. There we go. We have a current difficulty rating of 1. Okay. The player will look at the difficulty rating, roll the dice, and compare the results. No matter the result, every time you roll, you cross off the difficulty sheet, or basically every time you roll the dice, the difficulty will go up by 1 in our case, because we don't have a list to cross off.
Okay.
If the roll is less than the difficulty value, then the choice was not wise. The rolling player then narrates a death scene for the brave adventurer. Make it short, but over the top. Then hand the dice back to the reader, who selects a different choice and passes the dice again. Luckily, because if you're going to cheat, you might as well do it properly, this second choice is always safe and no roll is required. Success is automatic. As we play, obviously the difficulty will keep getting up, going up and up, and eventually will become 12. That is the end of the game. The game ends when the number 12 is completed with a victory scene. If you fail on the roll of the 12, then you just cheat to a successful scene. Don't do that. Please don't do that.
Now I'm going to do that.
Okay, but feel free to do stuff like, add things like, if you're a friend of the dwarves, go to page 13. Or if you remember to pack your lunch, go to page 9 or anything, right? Just toss stuff in there. Add things, because possibly we'll never see it and who cares and it never gets picked. Or it gets picked and now you've got a whole new angle to the story to add in. So great. Does anybody, any of my players have any questions about how it goes?
Who follows?
Oh, you all do. Let's go in an orderly way. I'm going to start with Dan and go clockwise around the screen. What's your question, Dan?
Once a choice has been selected, who follows up on what happens next?
So the person whose choice it was. So if Dan said, if you choose to go to the door, turn to page 17, and I say, great, I'm going through the door, now Dan has to narrate the next bit.
Okay. And so I got to be ready to follow up on the crazy nonsense I come up with.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Be prepared to narrate the outcome. And you might have to narrate a death scene or a success scene.
Yeah.
Unclear until you roll the dice. Colleen, question.
Oh, okay.
It was like, I'm sorry, but how did we determine which option we go with? The person who was reading the page?
Yeah, the original reader chooses. So in the first case, I'll read the opening statement. Each of you will come up with an option. I will pick one. And then that person proceeds. Mm-hmm. Andre, any questions? Nope. Fury?
All makes sense.
Isabel? Okay, great.
I have another question. What if one of the viewers has a really strong opinion about what option should happen next? Should we pay them any heed, or should we stiff arm them?
It depends on how much you value your online presence. Feel free, everyone, if you like to follow the chat, and maybe the chat will provide us with some interesting ideas or pressure us to take certain options. And it's totally fine and up to the reader in the moment to choose what to do. It's ultimately your call. Great. Okay, so again, when you are the reader, you don't have to go on for 20 minutes, right? Like a couple of sentences is plenty. Don't feel like you need to narrate forever. You know, if you're inspired, you know, don't feel limited, but let's keep the game moving. I have an intro thing, which is probably too long, but I'm going to read it. So the default thing is kind of standard fantasy, and I've decided to put my own favorite twist on it, which is the old standby of a person from modern times getting sucked into a fantasy world. So that is the theme of our game tonight, today. All right, so I will begin. It is a boring, rainy day, and you're trapped inside at your grandparents' house. Oh, I should mention that. We should all be, of course, reading in the second person like it's a Choose Your Own Adventure book. With little else to do, you decided to explore the house, eventually making it up into the attic, where you began digging through dusty, old, long-forgotten boxes. You were delighted to eventually discover one box full of old books and magazines, featuring thrilling tales of brave warriors, sneaky thieves, and mysterious magicians. You started reading immediately. One book, though, is especially interesting. The cracked leather cover simply read, The Dungeons of Zalkir, and the first page pictured a brave-looking adventurer, sword slung at their side, and their back laden with the trappings of an explorer. As you flip through the pages, reading of the far-flung lands, the hero's perilous ascent up a mountainside, and the yawning cave that surely led into the Dungeons of Zalkir, a strange sensation came over you. Your head swam, your stomach lurched. Suddenly you found yourself standing on the mountainside yourself, gear strapped to your own back, and the scabbarded sword pressing against your own hip. You have been transported into the story. It's all real! You peer into the dark cave interior, flanked on either side by crudely carved gargoyles leering down at you. You notice a small discarded bundle lying to the side of the entrance. Could this lead to the way back home? What will you do?
Humble request.
Yes.
Can we do present tense?
Yes, let's do present
tense. Because the options are normally in present tense, and
I agree.
Will probably personally get confused if we do past tense. Sorry to stop the train flowing. I'm with the gargoyles. We're having fun.
Great. Smart.
Take it away, Dan, with our first option. If you
If you look into the bundle, go to page 20.
If you decide to stick your finger in one of the stone gargoyle's noses, please go to page 82.
Damn it.
If you start shouting for help, please go to page 13.
If you try to wake yourself up by slapping yourself in the face, go to page 2.
If you suddenly feel pangs of hunger and look through your backpack for a snack, go to page 3.
Oh, excellent. Great. Good. Lots of good choices, but I think I have to stick my finger up the nose of the gargoyle. Take it away, Colleen.
I can't believe you took my freaking option.
So, Colleen, begin by rolling the dice, and on 2d6, try to roll higher than a 1. I know that's going to be really hard, but give it a whirl.
I rolled a 1 and a 2. I think 3 is higher.
Oh, close!
It is. It close, is. And the difficulty goes up. So, success. We don't die yet. Go for it, Colleen.
As you press your finger deep into the nostril of the stone gargoyle, you feel a click happen as pressure is applied and a stone is moved asunder aside. And its mouth opens.
If you dig further into the nose, go to page 27.
If you back away slowly with your hands raised, go to page 32.
If the gargoyle suddenly says, "Hey, what's the big idea?" go to page 52.
If you decide to leave the gargoyle well enough alone and enter the cave, go to page 97.
If you decide to take out the gem of Alcaris that you carry with you at all times and put it in the mouth of the gargoyle, go to page 512.
Oh, I'm going to page 512, Dan.
I'm glad you did.
Dan, roll 2d6 and try to get higher than a 2. Is it equal to 100?
Do we all die? I mean, is the game over if one of us fails this?
No, because then it goes back to the original speaker and they have to pick a different option. We cheat.
I get it. Okay. All right. Okay. I've rolled a 6 over here, so this is successful. The gargoyle's mouth takes the gem of Alcaris that you've carried your entire career into its mouth, and it begins grinding it up. And it cracks into bits, and then it grinds it further up into a fine powder that drifts away on the wind. And as that happens, you hear a grinding sound, and a 10-foot section of stone wall behind the gargoyle shifts to the side, revealing a dark passageway with stairs going down and a dank waft of death coming up from the stairs. What do you do next?
If you go down the dank steps of stairs, go to page 2.
If you go back and investigate the gargoyle's nose further, go to page 39.
If you take out a torch to produce light in this very dark area, go to page 55.
If you pick up some of the dust from the ground stone and put it in your mouth, go to page 206.
If you decide to pick up the bundle before moving along, go to page 533.
Okay, so currently I'm the player, and once again, whenever I play this, I'm trying to win on the first time through. So I feel like my most strategic option is I'm going to pick up the bundle and use all the resources available to me. So I'm going to Paul with that.
All right, I'm trying to get 3 or higher, 2d6. I have rolled a 3. Close.
Do we succeed on a 3?
We do. We succeed on equal. So, whew, just make it. Okay. So, you pick up the bundle and are horrified to find it dripping wet. That's it. Dan, what's your next choice?
My next choice? Oh, right, yeah, right. Okay,
if you,
I was talking about, what do you do? Okay. Yeah. Find it dripping wet. So have I looked in it? Was that it? What did you say?
One sentence. You pick up the bundle and find and are horrified to find that it's dripping wet.
Okay, if you open it up and stick your hand in and take the thing out anyway, go to page 405.
If you decide to throw it down the cavern, down the long steps, and scream like a child, go to page 38.
This reminds you of a situation from your youth involving a talking fish. Go to page 900.
If you unsheath your greatsword out of pure panic and stab the bundle, go to page 212.
It's great.
It sucks to go out.
Yeah, it does.
If you decide to just kick the bundle, just to make sure that there's nothing alive in it first, go to page 65.
Great.
I think I'm gonna stab it. I'm gonna stab it, Jerry. So roll the dice first.
Right. Yes. Thank you. I'm supposed to just assume success like a loser. 6.
Very good.
You know, you assume success like a winner.
You unsheath the greatsword at your hip, its familiar weight shifting in your palm as you plunge downward into the bundle, and it lets out a shriek and unfurls itself into a vaguely dog-shaped creature and shakes all of the moisture off of it and shouts back up at you. Uncalled for! What now?
If you try to soothe the dog-like creature by saying, hey, man, I didn't mean to, go to page 406.
If you are highly allergic to dogs and begin sneezing, go to page 709.
If you drive the sword home to finish it off, go to page 335.
If you choose to take the harness and saddle out of your other knapsack and ride the dog further into danger, go to page 526.
If you try to fold this orgog back up into its original shape, it's right there.
There's a bunch of really good ones here. I think I will mount the creature. Let's go, Carl.
Oh, no.
I really hope I die.
You gotta roll dice. Five or higher you're looking for.
I rolled a 9.
Very good.
Tally ho, the beast cries out as you ride upon it. It barges down the long corridor, breaking open the oaken door at the base of the stairs, and runs full into a pack of snarling goblins. Where you do what?
If you pull out your lute and begin playing a song of the goblin folk, turn to page 17.
If you boost yourself high in the saddle and instantly proclaim that you should be made their leader, go to page 304.
If you take your great axe and just start chopping heads, go to page 65.
If you recognize one of the goblins as being your good friend Eric, go to page 12.
Really good.
If you tell the dog to activate its short-range teleportation power, go to page 122.
The tough decision. I'm going to hold my thumb, and I'm going to play the lute.
Nice.
You've been practicing for this moment.
Don't forget to roll. Andre, don't forget, you got to roll.
You'll just kill us.
You've been practicing regardless of what it is. I rolled exactly 6.
Exactly 6. That is sufficient to continue on. We're doing really well, guys.
You've been practicing successfully for this moment your entire life. As you out and you play the of Goblin Scrug, and the goblins are all shocked. They've never seen a human like you, but knowledge of their culture and their important thing. They immediately take you to their king, who's sitting upon a giant throne. And he tells you, "What are you doing? How do you know of our people?"
Wow.
If you claim to be the great lost Orcan warrior, Klalar, go to page 402.
If you take out your battle axe and chop off the head of the king, you really should, as a, you know, the revolutionary that you are, go to page 81.
If you dismount, rub your steed's belly, and ask, "Who's a good boy?" go to page 6,599.
Oh God! If you say that you have come to assist the Goblin King in overthrowing the witch troll, go to page 99.
If you suddenly realize that you're in fact a goblin and that the Goblin King is your long-lost father who abandoned you at birth, and you're really pissed about it, please turn to page 74.
I do like the thought of learning that you're a gun, but I'm going to go with you chop his, try to chop his head.
Yeah. Awesome!
Yeah, realizing you are a staunch anti-capitalist.
You gotta roll the dice.
Everybody roll dice! When you say get sick, you gotta roll dice. Everybody get that.
Oh, I rolled a 3.
You have to roll our horrible death. You have to narrate our horrible death.
as the goblins realize that you are about to kill their beloved king, the beloved and benign king, they all swarm around you, including the dog that proceeds to eat our faces one by one.
Wow.
All right. Andre, pick something else.
I'm going to go back to the page I was on before. That was a little too gruesome. And I'm going to realize that I'm related to the Goblin King, and that I am a goblin.
Who's what's that?
Does she still have to roll now?
Oh, you rolled
No, she doesn't have to roll.
Yeah, you don't have to roll. We automatically succeed at this one.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay.
You look down upon you look down upon your hands and realize I was a goblin all along. You hold your father in your arms and embrace him. He anoints you and says, "You must go forth and be the prince of the goblins. We hold a grand banquet in your honor." And there, the priest of Shalakhanach gives you 3 gifts: a chalice, a porcupine, and a bonnet. He tells you your option. He tells you to do what?
If you... Hold on. Is this, he tells you to do what? Is that the problem?
Yeah. Yeah,
you can clearly say if he tells you. You can go that way.
Okay. if he tells you to take all three of these, and because they're destined to construct a contraption that'll free them all from this cave, turn to page 30.
If he tells you to defy all logic and use the chalice as a hat, please turn to page 119.
If he tells you to feed the porcupine to your dog, go to page 1065.
If he tells you that only the true goblin prince can wield all three gifts at once, and you must do so to prove yourself, go to page 77.
If you take his suggestion to find your long-lost sister, the goblin princess, and put the bonnet on her head because she is still a baby, and feed her from the chalice and give her back her beloved pet, the porcupine, then go to page 201.
That's a tough one. I'm going to go with Paul's.
Damn it. Okay. rolling the dice. Rolling the dice. Eight or higher. Oh, I got a 9. Holy crap. Okay. All right.
Dice here.
Okay, so let's see. It was a porcupine, a chalice, and a hat. A bonnet.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Knowing the ways, the ingenious ways of the goblin, you immediately take all three gifts and combine them together into one deadly weapon, tying one end of the bonnet to the chalice, placing the porcupine as missile in it, whirling it around your head, and flinging the porcupine at the former king goblin. And I'm leaving it there, Dan. Fill in.
So I don't know how, I don't know whether that was successful or not.
Exactly. So you could say, like, if the porcupine does this,
okay.
Right? You could do those
okay.
kind of entries.
Okay. If the contraption snaps and the porcupine rolls out and you've made a fool of yourself to no effect, then go to page 101.
Sorry. Realize you said page one.
101.
It's cool. There's no concerns. Don't worry about it. If in midair the porcupine hits the elderly cleric who anointed you with the goblin oil and is. Yeah. Like go to page 202.
If mid-flight, the porcupine turns into the fabled beast, Wildemar, and starts causing havoc in the hall, turn to page 93.
If you did not anticipate your enigmatic mathematics abilities, and the porcupine perfectly comes boomeranging back at you, turn to
nice.
Page 79.
Nice.
Yeah. If you manage to hit your father with the porcupine, saying, take that, father, and realizes that the porcupine is actually transforming into your sister, go to page 55.
Nice.
I want to see where you're going with that, Isabel. I'm going to page 55.
Fuck! We'll all die. Hang on a second. 4. We all die. All right, so I rolled a 4. So as your as the porcupine becomes your long lost sister, flails around, causing this domino reaction where your father falls off the throne into the goblin, roll en masse above you, on top of your body, and therefore. Smother you to death, and that's it. Game is over. You're dead. your sister's dead, goblins are dead, your father is dead, everybody's dead.
Oh dear.
All right. A different page.
Well, I don't like that one. I was just really curious to see what happened to my sister there. I didn't think everyone was going to die. Okay. I'm going to jump back. I'm going to look back. I'm going to choose that the porcupine boomerangs back at me.
I roll?
No, you automatically succeed. Yeah.
Okay. Of course it succeeds. You are a brilliant mathematician. the porcupine comes whirligigging nice. Back at you, and as the entire room gasps at the imminent death of their beloved prince aglow with goblin oil, you thrust your hand up, catching it perfectly in the light, sending a shining beacon to the world that you are, in fact, the anointed ruler of the land, of course. And it's perfectly parallel such that the statue behind you echoes perfectly your current position. You are the chosen one. It was always meant to be this way. Everything erupts in applause, and your father sheds a single tear.
Wow. Holy smoke, that was awesome. That was amazing. Sorry.
As your father sheds a single tear, you hear way off in the distance.
Wait, Isabel, the sound... you got to phrase it as if you do a thing or if a thing happens, right?
Oh,
you got to give us a choice.
Right.
That was such an exciting description.
Sorry. I get it.
Wait. We're still like from contemporary times, right? We're just like a dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Normal. Normal dude. Friend Eric.
I assumed adolescent because that's typically who these books were aimed at.
So, if you hear far off in the distance the sound of ringing, go towards the sound.
Okay, if your sister challenges you to one-on-one combat for the crown, go to page 804.
If you accept your father's offer to abdicate immediately, crown you as the king, and lead the war against the giant flame-spitting trolls, go to page 840.
If you realize you left the gas on, go to page 7.
What?
If your pet origami dog decides that now is the perfect moment to get revenge, go to page 33.
Wow.
These are all really good. I want to pick all of them. Statistically, I'll get to pick 2. I think I left the gas on.
Great, brilliant.
Roll the dice, Colleen.
Oh my god. Yeah.
5.
Yeah. So describe our death plan.
You find yourself back in your attic, and you realize that you smell the faint smell of gas. There's a popping sound, a smoke fills the room as suddenly you burst into flames. Your body, charred and broken, flies out of the window with the tome of the Zganthgar next to you, still burning. The man is dead.
Yeah. Oh, geez, I did not expect this book to trigger my deep-seated fear of gas leaks. I think I'm going to switch back. I'm going to try another option here. I'm going to take a deep breath. God, do we go to war? Paul, what was your option again?
Your sister challenges you to one-on-one combat for the throne.
My sister, one-on-one combat. Shoot, these are all really, really good. Oh, okay. I think we go to war. I think to war we
Excellent.
Go.
Great.
What choice?
Come on. We can do this. Come on, dice. I want to continue.
No, you don't have to go.
I gotta...
No, you automatically succeed because
right.
we failed before.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. Oh man, my own yelling has confused me. I should have given that nuance earlier. Great. 6 months later, you, the Goblin King, are at the head of a combined army of goblins and orcs and bugbears and men, and you are leading your flag over the mountains into the land of the demon troll giant flame breathers. And below you, you see the citadel of the demon giant two-headed flame-spitting troll king. You discover, to your dismay, that the walls of the castle are built out of diamond-sharp shards, and they are equipped with actual cannons and nuclear weapons. What do you do now?
If you use espionage to get the nuclear weapons codes to redirect the missiles back at your enemies, turn to page 38.
If you notice, your friend Eric is actually in the troll army. Turn to page 12.
If you take a different approach to getting yourself inside the castle and opening up emotionally to it, go to page 94.
If you take off your shoes like Khrushchev and just start hitting it on the ground, hoping that somehow there will be a giant nuclear disarmament worldwide, go to page 62.
Wow. If you stop reading in frustration and write a letter to the authors of the book explaining how nuclear weapons do not belong in a fantasy setting, go to page 2.
Are you playing Rust?
Yeah. God damn it. Those are all really great. All right, I'm still trying to win this adventure, so I'm gonna steal the codes. Obviously, I'm gonna steal the nuclear codes and use them against them. That's clearly the right answer.
Colleen narrates every death in story part one.
Yeah, we all do.
Oh dear.
We all die.
As you zip line down deep into the troll enemy line, you run face to face with your old friend, Eric. You have a drink. And then when you think that your best friend has the codes you need, he slides the dagger deep under your rib cage.
Oh, no.
He gives you one last kiss and says, at least we had Troll Town.
I mean, I didn't care. That's a good ending as far as I'm concerned. That's a victory.
We can...
I found love. I found drama. I found passion. This is everything I ever wanted.
We haven't rolled for 12, so we're still playing.
I respect Fury's opinion about that highly, but me, on the other hand, this book has just completely gone off the rails at this point. I don't accept any of this nonsense, and now I'm writing a letter to the editor and complaining about how ridiculous this has gotten.
I really like the idea that you turn to that page and it's like actually just form physically on that page.
Right.
Just say, I want your letter.
Oh dear. Oh dear. The magic that has drawn you into this fantasy realm dissipates as you realize that the setting is utterly preposterous. You flip to the back of the book to get the address to write for more information, and find that it is just a few miles from your own town. So you rush out, get on your bicycle in the pouring rain, and ride to the publisher's offices. What do you choose?
Oh God! Okay, now it's back to me. Jesus! Yeah. crap! Is this actually going to be the last thing? I mean,
this is the last roll. There'll be possibly two more narrations: a death and a success.
Yeah.
Maybe just a success if we're really lucky.
All right. If you have written the letter and run in the front door with the soggy letter to hand it to the secretary, go to page 5.
If you decide to stop by Dairy Queen on the way there, go to page 368.
If you use espionage to infiltrate the company. Until you become CEO and stinks like a drivel. Turn to page 33.
Wow.
If your grandparents don't know where their grandson went because he just kind of left a box open in the attic and ran away one day, go to page 5.
If blinded by rain and in your haste, you run over a dog and realize it looks very much like the origami dog in the story, go to page 712.
Wow! Holy crap!
Okay. All right.
Those are great.
These are all excellent. Very, very hard choices for me. But I'm picking here mostly based on which one I want to be dictated by the dice. So I think I'm going to infiltrate the company via espionage. I'm very eager to see if it works or not.
I rolled an 11. Just
So close!
Jeez. Almost.
Yeah. So you do manage to infiltrate the company by submitting a resume to their page. You get a job as a coder, and you slowly work your way up through the ranks. But unfortunately, ultimately given the responsibility, those big decision-making moments regarding nuclear weapons, and you spend your life working there.
Die of old age, totally dissatisfying.
That is cheating. That was genius. That was great.
All right. I want a far more dramatic ending, though. I'm cheating. I'm flipping back, and I'm gonna go to Dairy Queen. Brings home Colleen. Sorry.
To state your desire for the sweet, soft serve ice cream that is from Dairy Queen, you enter into the restaurant and take a seat in an empty booth. While you wait, a gentleman joins you at the booth. He says that he's the CEO of the publishing company for Create Your Own Adventure books, The Tome of Zanzibar, and he apologizes for the terrible, terrible book. He says the only way to break the spell is to throw the book in a trash can and burn it while chanting, "Yak kakasapa, yak kakasapa, yak kaka," and then throw yourself through ice cream into the trash. The dairy and the flame will purify the chaos and mayhem of the book, and your soul will be set free, and you will become the Dairy Queen.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
There should be like a tagline at the end of that that just says, published by the people who made Movie Monsters. Like, don't do it, kids.
Oh, wow. My goodness. That was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
That was awesome.
Oh.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
I like that game. That's hilarious.
I do, too.
I like that game, yeah.
I feel like you should take, like, a campfire or, like, if you have a bunch of friends over and you're doing some drinking or having a dinner night and you just want to play a quick hour game, like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I am surprised with six of us that we got through it in less than an hour. That's impressive. Great summoning game, right? Like, when you're getting together with a bunch of gamers and only a few of them have showed up and you're waiting for everyone else to come. Excellent game.
It's not, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like D&D smashed together with apples to apples or something like that. Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that you can go really chaotic and silly and then have that not actually affect the story proper. It's like you can build up this code, this kind of lexicon of silly little jokes without them ever coming to fruition. Like, I still can't get over Eric. I'm going to laugh every time I hear Eric. But we never actually selected any option that included Eric, and it was just a wonderful little, like, it's a really big way to add on to the canon in a very irresponsible way.
Great point.
Right? Heard, or like Fiasco?
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, you can certainly do it with different themes. I've heard an actual play where the setup was like 70s slasher horror movie. And then they played it very creepy and serious, right?
Yeah.
So you could certainly, you know, just that opening, whatever you use as your little opening blurb, you can spin it in all kinds of weird directions.
I feel like the first time you go through the choices kind of sets the tone. If there's one silly person, like, I'm sorry, guys, it was me. If there's one silly answer, then you're like, okay, this is where we're going.
I think we all appreciated the silly answer.
Well, it was also a serious answer. I actually used telepathy and took out the nose goblin from her. She said,
I cannot believe it. I can't believe it.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm looking at the chat here. William's got a good point that this is particularly good for online play, actually. I gotta agree with him. This is like the most straightforward. It feels like it just feels like everything flowed really well for the online environment.
Yeah.
You kind of know what the turn cycle should be all the time, so that kind of keeps us on track, and that's this was really nice for an online game, actually.
Yeah, and because of that turn, like, really strict turn-based structure, there wasn't a lot of interrupting, which is really refreshing.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the harshest thing about online streaming play is the waiting for, am I done? Or not, or maybe I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, I hadn't thought of that when I picked the game. I was just looking for games that were going to be light and more story-based and just easy. I didn't want to do a lot of prep. It's like, what can I toss together very quickly?
How many players do they suggest this game has?
That's a good question. Let's see. For three or more, best with four or five, it says.
Great. Work great with six.
Its tagline is a good-natured game poem parodying the adventure books of old. Relax, no actual poetry involved. Another interesting oddity of the page itself, right? So you have this little booklet. I read you most of the text in page one. Then there's a big chart here to if you want to randomly roll what the title of your book is. It says, then there's a section of not sure how to start. Here's a paragraph. Use this. It's very, very typical fantasy blurb. And the back has a character sheet, which weirdly has two stats on it. You have a skill of 8 and a stamina of 10, with no indication of what that means.
That's great. That's
awesome. That's a gas on, right? Like, why is this here?
Go ahead, Paul. No, I just really appreciated you bringing the meta part of it back in, the yes, we are totally from the real world and we got pulled into the weird fantasy world. I like that play there.
I agree.
I had a really hard time picking between the teleportation option and that one. I was like, oh man, teleportation, because then we can have like aliens and we can just go way over here.
so close to using the teleportation.
I'm going to play this game. This is a game I'm going to put into the
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a really good game. I really like that.
Awesome.
Thank you, Wandering Games. Awesome.
This is like a great game for like late night cons.
Yeah.
You know, or like the lull or the game you didn't want to, friends together over dinner and just be like, boom, it's this 1 hour game.
What's cool is you could also, if you want to abridge it even more, you could do it with a single D6 and only have 6 rounds instead of 2D6 and 12 rounds.
Yeah, you could certainly tinker with the pacing by changing the dice and the number value.
Great.
Ashmay brings up a good point in the chat here about one issue being with bigger groups is trying to remember all the options. And honestly, in the last round, I found myself, especially as you get into those cases where there's death on the line and you know, like, I'm probably going to have to make a second choice. I actually found myself writing myself little notes about, like, who said what so I can try to remember it.
I thought I had the same idea. I agree with Ash. I had the same thought, actually.
Yeah.
I think this game's also nice because it's not, like, you don't really need any kind of role-playing background, right? Like, I think it's just friends together. You play a choose-your-own-adventure game.
Yeah. It probably helps if you've read one of those books once in your life, but I bet most gamers have.
Sometimes I did have difficulty finishing the page, like how do I end this so that people know what options.
How do I? Some kind of standard cue would be nice to say.
Right.
You know, okay, please fill in the next piece.
Right. I think usually, I'm accustomed to seeing a question, pardon me, at the end of the page. And then the other thing I would point out, like the ones that I used to read, the ones that ended with death, they would always end with all caps. This is the end of this adventure. you may restart from the beginning if you want to, is what I'm used to seeing.
Which you always did.
Yeah, I did.
Cheating for Dan.
Just
off the cuff, like maybe you could use a visual cue, right? Like if you raised your hand when you're done, or you know, whatever, some kind of gesture to say cue to everybody, I'm done. Please start supplying options.
Okay.
I do feel like most choose your own. The most true options to the original books was always what do you do, right? If you do this, if you do that, and definitely, I think in play we tend to warp it, and I think they encourage you to warp it into the like if this crazy out of left field thing happens, right? Which I'm not sure I ever read a choose your own adventure that had that kind of chaos in the options.
I feel like once in a while there was like the bit about like taking out the thing you were never told about before, and it comes out of nowhere. Like I've seen that at least a couple times.
Yep, that's true.
I remember a Goosebumps book from when I was a kid where you had these magic snake eyes you had to rub together, and every time you'd rub one of them, you'd transform into an animal. And one of the ends was you accidentally eat them, and every time your stomach growls, it rubs them together, so you have to keep eating so that you're never hungry ever again. That was legitimately an ending to one of the Goosebumps stories. And I don't know. I think that's pretty chaotic.
Oh, weird. Wow. Nice. That's great.
That's terrifying for when you have a bowel movement.
Yeah, no, you'd think. I instantly had that question as a child. I went to my mom and I was like, Mom, this makes no sense. She was just like, it's a book to me.
Were the Goosebumps books choosing different paths like that? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, all of the Choose Your Own Adventure books I've ever read were Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventures.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Interesting.
Really cute. One of them was like a 90s realization of what they thought VR was going to be. It was it's delightful.
Great. Great.
All right, well,
Paul, where'd you get that from? Like, if someone wants to see that page of rules, where do you get it?
It's an excellent question. Let me see if it's got a... okay, so there's a web address on here. To comment, head over to www.ukroleplayers.com. It is written by Shane McLean. Yeah, ride your bike on over to the publisher. Direct all complaints to Shane McLean with the Pompeii Crew design team. Playtested at London Indie RPG Meet and IndieCon 12, according to the booklet. I first heard of it actually via listening to the Fear of a Black Dragon podcast. which is on a larger umbrella channel called The Gauntlet, and they have a bunch of actual plays on there, and that's where I discovered it, and I listened to some of their actual plays, which were just delightful, and I thought, I gotta try playing this game. It sounds super fun. Ultimately, you just Google "cheat your own adventure." That's what I always did. Just type "cheat your own adventure" into Google bar, and you'll find it. You'll find it. It's available. It's out there for free, right? It's a one page PDF. It's really well designed, well thought out, very clever. I like it a lot.
We tend to like lightweight rule systems a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's hardcore. The dice tell you what happens next. There's no karma fate points. You can't spend a story point to change it. The dice come up, you're just dead. Good. Moving on. I kind of like the clarity and the crispness of that, honestly.
I personally really enjoyed being in the hot seat on the last roll of getting to choose what is the high stakes roll of, like, it could end this way but maybe not.
Right.
Yeah. That was great. That was great.
That was a good moment. That was a good moment.
Awesome.
Okay. Let's talk about where our guests can be found doing other stuff. So, of course, Paul and Colleen and Fury have just wrapped the first season of 10 Dead Rats. And if anybody hasn't been watching that, you should go to the Wandering DMs channel on YouTube and see the first season of 10 Dead Rats and see all of them doing more performance, with Paul DMing, and they had a great first season. Anybody that hasn't watched that yet, you should do that.
So totally
super
agree.
Super glad Colleen and Fury could join us today.
This is awesome.
Isabel has a puppet channel on YouTube called Cow and COVID-19, and so she has weekly or biweekly puppet shows that show up. Frequently concentrating on the pandemic, actually safety issues, emotional safety issues, and things like that. So we highly recommend that. Isabel, what is your next production coming up for that?
The next production is a spoof of Carmen, the opera called Carmoon, where a COVID-19 puppet is going to show up on stage and cause moo-moo-moo.
We are all, is there singing involved?
There will be singing involved, and that's causing me quite a bit of a problem because my cowboy is really high pitched, and so now I have to sing like really high up, and it's not working very well, but I'm working on it. I'll figure it out.
Awesome.
Something for your ears.
And Andre is on top of everything else that Andre is talented with. He's a fine artist as well. Does painting, and you have an Instagram page. People can check that out. How do you? What's the address again, Andre?
Yeah, I am at @adraco, which is my first initial and last name on Instagram.
Great. People should check that out.
Portraiture and figurative art.
Great.
Excellent. Please check that out, everybody. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'm super excited to have gotten to play a lot of great games over this weekend, which has been my tradition for many years, and I'm happy to keep that going. If folks have any further questions or comments about Cheat Your Own Adventure or other similar lightweight indie RPGs you want to recommend to us that we should check out, please leave a comment for us here in the video. We would love to hear from you.
Definitely. Remember, you can like and follow and subscribe to us, the Wandering DMs, on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Twitch under the handle Wandering DMs on all of those sites.
You can also find our shows in audio-only podcast format. Those are available on our website at www.wanderingdms.com. Also on a variety of podcast carriers such as Google Podcasts and iTunes, etc. If you are listening to this show on one of those carriers, please take a moment to rate and review us. We really appreciate it.
If you are not listening to the show on one of those characters, please turn to page 512.
Bravo.
Brilliant. If you would like to be a patron of the show, because our patrons support us so much and make what we do here possible, please turn to patreon.com/wanderingdms, and you can see how to join our very generous patrons in supporting the Wandering DMs. Remember that we have several shows for the week. There's a Tuesday show. Is 10 Dead Rats happening this week, or are we still waiting for another week for that?
That is unclear at this time. We will give you updates on social media as things unfold.
Look for that, please. I believe that on the talk show next Sunday at 1 p.m., I believe that we have a special guest, Doug Behovic from Nerdarchy. Is that correct, Paul?
That is true. Yep. Looking forward to chatting with Doug about all things D&D.
Me too. So having one of the people from Nerdarchy on is something we've been looking forward to for a while. So, yeah, we are live Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have a regular talk show next week with Doug on. So please do join us next week. Thanks to all of our special guests for the live play this week. That was really spectacular. And happy birthday to Paul.
Thanks so much.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, everyone. See you again. Bye.
You guys. Bye.
Bye.